This morning I'm about to go off script. Then I'm going to come on script. And then I'm going to go off script again. And I'm going to ask you to be patient with me when you get 4 or 5 emails from me this week. Because I'm going to be encouraging every person who is not here today and is not watching online to hear every word of what I'm going to share today. I believe this Palm Sunday is very, very important. I want to remind us of the words that God has given us. We're in a very unusual time in our country, in our world, but God is going to pull off a turnaround. And God will be recognized, not man. God's going to do this, but he needs a church to engage what he's doing. Worship team, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is well pleased with you this morning. Because you did not come here to entertain us. You did not come here because this place is full so that you could be seen. You came for one purpose, to worship the one. NEC exists to worship the one. I was asked, this is an unusual season, I was asked, I guess if it was just you and Rochelle and the worship team, you would still have church. Yes. I'll preach to the worship team and Rochelle. Because we don't come for any other purpose than to worship the one. We open our doors to worship the one for whoever comes. NEC also exists for the one. You matter. We will keep our doors open for the one. I know the truth in the statistics that have been proven out. I know that the average church in Texas is only running 35 to 40% of their total community of faith membership. Sometimes they reach 50 or 60% if they have something special going on. That's everywhere. I know pastors who have lost 700 to 1,000 people that don't even know where they went. That's fact. Rochelle will tell you, fact. But they keep their doors open because we come to gather as the church to worship the one. And we open our doors for the one who may walk through the door, who needs you. We will continue to keep our doors open. I know there are churches that still do not have their doors open. I know churches that are not going to be open on Easter. We will be open on Easter for come to worship the one and for those who want to come. We will be online for those who feel like they need to stay home, and we honor that. And for that person who just now found us, don't you dare go anywhere. Stop surfing around, see who all's online this morning, because this word today is for you, so don't go anywhere. We have got to get our focus back on the one. We've got to get our focus on the reality that we exist for the one. And I hope that you have invited somebody to either watch us online or to be here next Sunday morning. Remember what Pastor Jeff Wickwire told us during our building dedication. We need to be reminded. He talked to us about the church that God blesses, did he not? Who is the church? You are. And one of the things he said was, don't keep Jesus to yourself. Don't keep Jesus to yourself. If those back lights went on, if somebody could cut those off, there's a glare that comes back over the lights. I don't know how come they came on, but thank you. There's enough spotlights, y'all, and when you get more lights, it's real fun. Anyway, but God is looking for a church full of true worshipers who care about the one and who care about the one who may walk in. So we're going to be open on Easter, and I hope you've invited somebody. We have stuff out at the Connection Center that will help you do that. But remember, God blesses the church. And he gave us three and then gave us some bonus one, which was, don't keep Jesus to yourself. You want a blessing from God? Seeking a blessing. Oh, I wish God would bless me. Then invite somebody to church, especially those who do not know him as Lord and Savior. Because I will cast the net next Sunday. And I expect souls to come into the kingdom. And guess what? If it's just one, we're going to shout and we're going to praise God and we're going to celebrate. This is about worshiping the one. And we need to invite people to come and let them know that we're open. I've had people contact me. Are y'all going to be open on Easter? Yes. I have a church, but I desperately need to be around people. Their church is closed down. We'll be open for them. They'll go back to their churches when they open. But if they want to come Easter, they are welcome. And we will love them. And be here for them. Amen? That's why we exist. We come for the one. There's a lot of churches that have been very large in number. And you could walk in and think a lot's going on. But I've sat down with some of those pastors and they've said what we've been through. They woke them up to the reality. They just had a church full of people. But their purpose had been lost. It wasn't about him. It was about a whole lot of other stuff. I am determined with all of my heart, soul, mind, and body that NEC will continue to exist for the one. And for the one person who walks through the door. Can you get in agreement with me about that? Because that's what we're going to do. Now, I'm going to do something else off script for me that I don't do here on a regular basis. But I will today. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to read a very short passage of Scripture, just one verse. It's not going to be on the screen. So you need to hear. Listen well. It's found in Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will not forget what you've done for me. I don't care, God, if it was 15 years ago, I refuse to forget. You did something for me. Doesn't matter if you've not done anything today or in the last 5 years. 15 years ago, I'm going to remember what you did for me. And I'm going to worship you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you with your word that you've planted in my heart to release to your church. Not my church, your church. And that, Father, that we'll have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us today. That we will remember on this Palm Sunday what Colin has already spoke that connects with the message you've given me. To remember what you did, Jesus, for us. That this Palm Sunday be a day of remembrance. And that we shake ourselves and remind ourselves of how good you are. And I thank you, Father, for moving mightily, powerfully, personally for each person here in this building and online. And Father, for those who will hear my words in those emails and go and actually listen to this message, that you will powerfully and mightily move in their lives. I decree that and I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now let's get on script before I go off script again. So get ready. Stay with me. Today is a day of remembrance. It's a day we need to remind ourselves. We truly need to shake ourselves and remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. Let me put it in real raw language. Can you handle raw language? It's a day to stop whining and start remembering. Hey, I can whine with the best of them. Come on now. It's a day to stop whining and start remembering. Let's go back and remember a little bit. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, the next day the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna!" You know, when you read that, you ought to just stand up and go, "Hosanna!" Remember, watch what the punctuation is there. They didn't go, "Hosanna." They could be heard. They didn't stop there. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." You're shouting, Pastor. That's what they were doing. The King of Israel was coming. Put a pause. I'm going to have her take down the verse of Scripture for a moment. Hit the pause button. What have we learned here at North Elevation Church? Don't just read the word. Live the word. Live that moment. Let me live the moment for just a moment with you. "Hey, Tom, look, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's coming in. I would have thought he'd come on a white horse, but he's on that donkey. But I think that's a fulfillment of Scripture. It's Jesus." I can see that. I can see somebody else over pointing at Tom. "Yeah, Tom, I was there, man, when he fed nearly 50,000 people." Where'd you get 50,000? Hey, man, count the numbers of men, women, and children. They had lots of children back in them days. That was just a guesstimate of how many men were there. Who else was all there? Most theologians think there was at least 30 to 40,000. Some believe 15 or 20. The point is, with a few fish and a loaf, he fed thousands. Whatever theologian you believe thinks, how many were there? And the man who did that is coming. "Tom, why aren't you shouting?" Verse 14. "And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified," here it comes, "then they remembered." Today is the day of remembrance. Do we remember? "That these things had been written about him and had been done to him." Now, this series is about seven statements that Jesus made using "I am." We're not looking at all of them in this series, but today we're going to look at another one in part three. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." A shepherd. They understood this. A shepherd in those days were special people. I know that most of us in this room would love to believe that we would lay down our life for someone, literally lay our life down for somebody. But we probably wouldn't know that until we were put in that place. But shepherds were known for risking their lives for one sheep. True shepherds would lay their lives down. The true shepherd would protect the sheep at all cost. We have a true shepherd, Jesus Christ. And Jesus suffered. What he suffered, what he endured, proved that he was a true shepherd. He died to save us from an eternal hell. And hell is a real place. The true shepherd laid his life down. If we would take just that verse of scripture every Monday, every Friday, and begin to just spend some time shouting and worshiping God that his son came here to save me, we need to remember that Christ laid his life down so that I could breathe this air and have a hope of a future in eternity. We need to remember. We need to remember what he suffered, what he endured. On this day of reflection, we need to remember what Christ did. And we need to take a look at what does it mean that Christ is our shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus spells it out, and he covers several points of why he is a true shepherd. We're going to look at three of them this morning. Three ways Christ is our shepherd. Now, from this point forward, I'm going to personalize everything that I say. I'm not going to say we or us. I'm going to say you. I like to say we and us because I include me with we and us. When I'm up here, I'm not separate from anything God is speaking to you. But today, God wants to speak to you and to me. So I'm going to personalize the rest of this message. Number one, Christ gave himself for you. I believe with all of my heart that if some unusual, catastrophic thing had happened as Jesus was being nailed on that cross and just as he was being set, that all of a sudden something happened and you had been there and you were the only person left standing in front of that cross, he'd have still endured the completion of the cross just for you. He did it for you. When I was underneath that mobile home, I realized he did it for me. I wasn't thinking about you. It was very personal. He died for who? Me. As we go through our day, have we forgotten to remember that Christ gave his life for me? We get so caught up in everything going on and get so bummed out, twisted, and we forget, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. In John chapter 10, verse 15, he says this, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Truth number one, everything Jesus endured was for you. You're watching me online? Listen. Everything that Jesus endured, he endured it for you. Number one, in the garden. When they came to get Jesus. I want you to live the scriptures, not read them. Only read, live it, bury it deep inside you. You need to understand that they didn't just come up and quietly take Jesus away and let him off in this, like, almost like this a triumph thing where they're blowing horns and having a, you know, hey, we've got him, we're just going to parade him. No, they were abusing him from the moment they got him, even in the garden. You got to understand the history of how they treated a prisoner once they took them. Jesus was treated as a common criminal. Jesus began to endure punishment for you in the garden. Now let's back up a bit in the garden. Think about Jesus sweating blood for you to obey God and his will for his life. We must remember what Jesus did. He was scourged, number two, and beaten. I mean a scourging and a beating that tore his body up. Said on the cross, you couldn't tell if he was male or female. I want you to think about the abuse he took and for how long he took it throughout that night into the next day. He did it for you. You know, we say, well, I don't want those pictures in my mind. You need to get those pictures in your mind and remember what Jesus did. This is a day of remembrance. My email last night, I was very clear. I believe this is a very special day. I believe it's a special day for those who will hear this word and begin to remember. They mocked him, spit on him, made fun of him, embarrassed him. He took all that for you. They ripped out his beard, number four. I don't even want to imagine how bad Colin would scream if I ripped his beard out. Big, tough military guy, bad. That would hurt. Jesus did that willingly, stood there, and allowed them to do that for you. For you. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails, with bone and metal. Do I need to describe more of what that did to his body? Tore him completely apart. And he, now let's remember something. He's King Jesus. All he had to do was say one thing, and the angels would have come and wiped him out. But he didn't. Because you truly were on his mind. He did it for you. They condemned him to death, number six. If I was standing up there with Jesus, I would probably want to look at Jesus and go, I can't believe it. Those people used to follow you. I can't believe it. They watched you heal people. Oh my goodness. I think there's somebody over there you did heal. Think about what Jesus had to view and what his heart had to take on. The brokenness. He did that for you. Number seven, he hung on a cross in agony. For you. For you. Truth number two, never forget that Jesus chose to suffer and die for you. He chose to suffer and die for you. He chose. This was not imposed on him. Remember, He gave himself willingly because of you. John 10:18 says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again." Jesus is declaring, "I have all the power necessary to put an end to this, but I will not." Because I love whom God loves. He loves you. Jesus accomplished everything he came to do. And as I like to say it, then he gave himself to the cross. He gave himself to the cross. For you. For you. And for the person that you're going to invite next Sunday. He did this for you. And you. And you need to remember what he did. I truly believe that we're in a time and a season in our world and in our life and in Christianity that we've got to quit forgetting what Jesus has done for us and allow the world that we live in to consume us in such a way that we forget what he did. And that we only remember at Easter time. I've had people say, "Pastor, you know, you always bring it up, being underneath that trailer, as though I'm doing something wrong." I'm doing nothing wrong. I'm reminding myself of what Jesus did for me. We would all do good to remind ourselves of that moment that we came to know Christ Jesus as our Lord. And said, "Well, Pastor, it was at 7 years old." Yeah, but it was a cool moment, wasn't it? We need to remember. Galatians 2:20 says, "And I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We have got to begin to travel in our walk in Christianity to a place where we spend good quality time every day getting out of the flesh and living by faith. Jesus gave his life so that you could have the book to build your faith, to face every day, every situation, every circumstance. Jesus did it for you. Number two, Christ provided eternal life for you. In John 10:28, he says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Now, look at that verse. Jesus did not say, "I will give them eternal life at some time in the future." He gave it to us at the cross. He opened the door. When the veil was split in two, you no longer had to go through the priest. You no longer had to do sacrifices. You had an open door straight to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be your Father and your Savior. You can go directly to him. And he will embrace you, hold you, and love you. If Christ is our shepherd, the gift of eternal life is yours. You don't have to earn it. Stop trying to earn it. I have another word for that. Stop sinning. That's why you feel like you got to keep earning it. If Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior, eternity is yours. but making the wrong choices to try to rework the word to live a certain way brings about trouble in our lives. Let's not forget what Jesus did for us so that we don't have to have that trouble. Here's a note. The word give here means that God gave His most precious gift, His Son, and His Son gave His most precious gift to us, His life. They gave a gift. And it was freely given by God to a son who loved God so much he was willing to do it for you. A true shepherd will pay the price for the sheep. And Jesus paid the price for us. And we need to remember what He did for us. When we come in here, how many there is, how many, how few, doesn't matter. We come because of what He did. Those who are watching online right now, and there will be a day everybody will be back. God's going to do a huge turnaround. And there's going to be a whole lot more than that coming back. We have promises from God about that. But every time they turn on that computer or that TV or however they're watching us right now, that device, that even exists because of what Jesus did. So we come here for the one. They watch online for the one. We're going to invite people to Easter because of what He did for us. And we want them to have what we have. Well, Pastor, I haven't really invited anybody yet because I know they're not ready to come where there are people. That's fine. Invite them to watch us online. Don't let that stop you from inviting people on Easter. Jesus suffered. He endured. I don't even think I would have made it past those few hours in front of the priest physically. I don't know. Really study what they did to Him before He ever got to Pilate. Study it closely, deeply. And here's the miracle. He was still walking. Guess why He stood up and continued? Because of you. Because of you. He did this. He did all of this for you. Chris, would you come? I'm going off script. The rest of the script doesn't matter. For those of you watching online, I'm going to ask you to do something. And if you could be here, there's a quietness in here, a stillness. I can imagine what it was like around the cross. I think it was the same. I do. There came a moment where it was just, people are looking. People were remembering the miracles. They were remembering all the things that Jesus taught. They were remembering what they had witnessed all the way to the cross. They're remembering. The disciples are beginning to remember Jesus' words. And I believe there was a stillness and a quietness because they were reflecting and remembering what Christ had done. You know, we probably need more services where we gather and just remember this. Might make a lot of what we face seem like nothing if we focus more on what Jesus did. We're going to take a season of time, and I'm going to ask you who are watching me online to do exactly the same thing. Turn up the volume on your computer, on your TV, however you're watching us, on your phone. Get the worship level up where you're at, because it's not the same there as it is here. That's just the truth. Turn that volume up and go to your knees, sit down in your seat, wherever you're at, stand. But worship God. Thank Jesus for what He did for you. These altars are open right now. I'm going to ask Him to raise the volume of the music some. And I'm going to encourage you to either stand, kneel. You can come around at these chairs, stay where you're at. But here's the one thing I'm going to say. Even online, don't be a spectator at this moment. Don't just be watching. It's time to worship God in your seat or up here. So come now. We've got time. I've ended early for that purpose. Or you can stay out there. But again, this isn't to watch where everybody's going and what they're doing. This is your time to worship God, to thank Him for a Son who loved me so much. He came out of heaven to be born just to die for me. Father, we worship You. We glorify Your name this morning. We're not here to be seen. We are here to worship the One. We are here to worship You. We opened our doors today to worship You. People turned on their computers and their phones and their TV sets this morning to watch this service, to worship You. We worship You, Father. We glorify Your name. You're worthy, You're worthy. Lord, thank You. Jesus, thank You that as You prayed to the Father in the garden, that You submitted Yourself to fulfilling Your destiny. Oh, Jesus. In the garden, You said, Thy will, not mine, be done. All we remember today, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. Oh, we worship You, Father God. You're worthy, You're worthy, You're worthy, You're worthy. Oh, we worship You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We remember, Father, You being arrested, being tormented, ridiculed, mocked, crown placed on Your head, drove down into Your scalp, spit on, beaten, disrobed in full embarrassment. All of that for me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. We worship You, Father. We magnify Your name. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the Lily of the Valley. You are the Bright and Morning Star. You're our Lord and our Savior. And we remember. We remember, Father, when You healed our children. We remember, Father, when there was no money, You provided money. We remember. We remember when we were tormented, You delivered us. We remember. We remember, Father, when we felt so alone and you sent someone unexpectedly to speak a word that set us free. We remember. Today we remember, Father. We remember. We remember on the cross that you even cared for the two men on either side of him. You loved them. As one said, we deserve to be here, but he does not. Jesus, you didn't deserve to be there, but you allowed yourself to be put there for me. Thank you, God, for your son Jesus who did that for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Michelle, would you come and close us in prayer?
Thank you, God. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. You are a faithful God. You are a good, good Father. Jesus, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for what you did for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And he gave. And he gave. And he continues to give. He gave his all. He gave his only son. He gave. Jesus gave his life. Sacrificially he gave. He endured more torment and more pain. Physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, a broken heart. He endured everything, all the pain that has ever been in this earth and ever will be. He endured it in his body. He took it upon himself for us so that we can be set free and delivered from the pain, from the mental torment, from the pain of sickness, disease, and death. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we can't thank you enough, Lord Jesus. And as we go out, and as we have this week ahead of us, with Easter coming up next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, help us to do what you've called us to do, oh God, to bring in the lost, to bring in the sick, bring in the bound, bring in those that need to be set free, that they will come and that they will be set free, that they will be delivered, that they will be healed, that they will be saved, oh God, because of your great mercy and love, that you love them so much that you gave your only son, you gave it all, you gave and you still give. And you will always give. Help us to give as you give. Help us to give. Lay aside our own comfort. Lay aside our own wants and our desires and our selfishness. Help us to lay it aside and to take up your will.
Yes.
To say, not my will, O God, but yours be done. Not my plans and my purpose for my life, but yours, your plans and your purpose for my life. Forgive me of selfishness. Forgive me of the petty things that I let stand in the way of your will and doing your will and being pleasing to you and submitting my life to you. Lord, help us to submit our life to you, to follow you every day, to do your will, to do things your way and not our way. We lay it all down before you, O God. We give you our lives. We give you our own desires, our thoughts, our plans. We give it to you. And we want yours. We want your will. We want your thoughts and your plans. We want your future for our lives, oh God, not our own. Because we just mess up our lives. But you will bring fulfillment and peace and healing to our lives. You will bring us into your purpose and plans being fulfilled in this earth and then eternal life. Glorious, glorious eternal life to come. So we thank you, oh God. We thank you and we submit to you today. And we say, Lord, not our will, but yours be done. And we pray that next week we will come together and that there will be many that will come together in this place. And we will worship you, Lord Jesus. Yes. And we will celebrate you, Lord Jesus, as you are risen, as you are risen. And we will celebrate what you have done for us and that people will come and many will come into your kingdom next Sunday on Resurrection Sunday. We claim souls for the kingdom of God. We call in the lost into the kingdom of God to be saved, delivered, and set free in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.